Most times when we run into difficult issues in our lives, we try to overcome in our own strength, or perhaps with the help of a friend. But what do you do when you run into difficulties, obstacles, problems that are way beyond human strength? So then what? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective. Hey, it's great to be with you again today. Almost the end of the week. Getting there, not quite, but almost. I don't know how you feel towards the end of the week, but as much as I love doing what I do, I really do look forward to a rest over the weekend. I mean, I work long and hard during the week, and I love to rest at the end of the week. Yeah, okay, not everyone's life follows that cadence, and mine hasn't always either. But at some point, we need a rest, right? It's like doing life drains us. The thing that energizes me during the week isn't just living life. It isn't just the fact that I really, really enjoy what I'm doing. It's more the fact that I don't have to go it alone. Today on the program, we're looking at what it means to live an extraordinary life. This is message number 19 in a series of 20 on that very subject. I'm not sure where the time's flown, but it has. It's flown past rather quickly. And today's little chat is all about power. The power to make things happen, the power to go on, the power to crash through brick walls when we don't have what it takes to crash through the brick wall, and the power it takes to make sacrifices in our lives. In your life, let me ask you, where do you get that sort of power? Do you have that sort of power? Well, no, me neither. Well, that's not quite true. In and of myself, I don't have that sort of power. But when from time to time things get beyond me, I know where to go and get it. Sound interesting? Let's take a look. In this razzmatazzy kind of world that we live in, we're supposed to have our own power. We're supposed to be strong, self-sufficient. We're supposed to be quick, smart, clever, and all that stuff. That's the theory. And I guess in part I agree with that. We should grow, we should mature, we should use the strengths and the gifts that we've been given. But I don't care, even if your name is Hercules, there are going to be times when the job before us is way, way, way beyond us. So when you're in that place, where do you get the power? The power to live an absolutely extraordinary life? Well, let's take a look. The question is, what are you powered by? Here's what Jesus had to say on the subject, because, of course, in our journey of discovery on how to live an extraordinary life over these past few weeks, we've been following him around through the account of his life in the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament to discover how it is that Jesus lived his extraordinary life. Here's what Jesus had to say about power and where to get it. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed in terrible distress at home." And Jesus said to him, "I'll come and cure him." But the centurion answered, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, I say, do this, and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and he said to all those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west, and they will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that very hour. Now, he was a centurion, not one of God's chosen people, mind you, but a Roman soldier of the Italian cohort. He was faced with a problem that was way, way, way beyond him. His servant was very sick, and obviously, this servant meant a lot to him. So what do? There were no fancy emergency clinics back in those days, none of the advances in medicine that we take for granted today. Yet he'd heard about this miracle man Jesus, and in his simple mind, he decided that Jesus must have the power. But how to lay hold of that power? Well, I'll get up, I'll go and see him with a bit of luck. Being a centurion, I'll get through the crowds and I'll get to ask him for help. But how does the centurion ask? Let's take another look. Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just speak the word and my servant will be healed, for I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. And to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. The centurion sets out the simple soldier's logic of his faith in Jesus. He explains his reason for putting his trust in Jesus. And Jesus is totally blown away by this guy's faith. And the moment this faith is expressed, it releases the power of God. The centurion in and of himself didn't have the power to heal the servant, but he knew where to go and get the power by placing his trust, his faith in Jesus. Well, is that it? Is that the end of the story? Well, not really. Of course, the centurion received what he asked for by faith. But interestingly, Jesus also received what he asked for by faith. See, it seems that Jesus actually practiced what he preached, which is kind of a nice change when you think about it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. But a windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was dead calm. They're amazed, saying, what sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, I'll tell you what sort of a man he was. He was a man of faith. He rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith, and then in faith, he stilled the storm. Remember, Jesus had laid all his power aside to become a man. Yes, Jesus was and is the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. He had, in and of himself, exactly the same amount of power that you and I do. What he relied on to do the extraordinary things that he did was God's power by faith. And as a result, he was able to still the storm. He was able to feed the 5,000, to heal the sick, to raise the dead by faith. Now, I try my hardest in life. I marshal all my abilities and strengths whenever I'm facing something. I figure I should be able to do things that I'm capable of doing, but there are plenty of times I'm called to do things that are beyond me. I sat preparing this message at the airport in Dubai on my way from Delhi to Nairobi. I'd just been to India to grow the reach and the impact of these messages on radio there, and now I was heading off to Africa to do the same. I can't tell you how often on these trips I sit there and look around and I think to myself, who do I think I am? What am I doing here for crying out loud? I can't make a difference in all these foreign places. And then I remember the centurion, his simple logic. To him, it was patently obvious that Jesus could do what he asked. And then I remember Jesus, who by faith stilled the storm through the power of God himself. It wasn't complicated for either of them, not for the centurion, not for the Christ. Faith is faith, simple, sweet, and pure. And it's that childlike faith that lays hold of the awesome power of God to do the extraordinary things in this world, the things that are way beyond our power, way beyond the natural, the supernatural. Looking for power to lead an extraordinary life? Well, I can tell you where to find it.
And this program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your local station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, does not want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favor? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart and his heart is to reach the unreached with his love. So if you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer points at ChristianityWorks.com. And while you're there, don't forget that there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like marriage and family, relationships, adversity, low self-esteem, and lots more. God's Word is so powerful. So check out the Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive His Word into your heart. I'm Bernie Diamond. And I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.